This is the Ion Football Podcast with Will Brinson and Ryan Wilson.
Big blockbuster trade coming down on Tuesday night in the NFL. We're going to talk about that. We'll talk about the franchise tag numbers that came through on Monday afternoon. We'll talk about Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler is always interesting to talk about. And we will hit upon all the relevant NFL news. This is Will Brinson along with Ryan Wilson. Reminder, if you're listening, if you're not listening in iTunes, or you're not subscribing via iTunes, do so. Do so now. You'll get it. You'll get this podcast delivered thrice weekly to your earbuds, to your phone, to your computer at work, whatever it is. We usually post it at night, so you get to wake up in the morning and listen to it. You can listen to it while you run if you're one of those weirdos. And if you're really nice, hit the 5-star button on the app. You don't have to be logged in. Leave a comment and I'll buy you a beer. The comments are full of people. I basically owe like $97.50 in draft beers to fans of the podcast at this point, Ryan.
That's correct. I'm actually looking to see most recently who left us comment. Scott DS left us one. And at the very end, he says, Brinson, if you're ever in Omaha, you owe me a beer. So add Scott to the list. Thank you very much, Scott, for a very...
Omaha! Omaha!
There you go. That's right.
The Bills and Eagles have, it appears, agreed to a straight-up trade of LeSean McCoy for Kiko Alonso, the legend of Kiko Alonso, Bills linebacker for the Eagles running back. And you can kind of scroll through our pal Jason Lockenfora noted that Chip Kelly was not a fan of LeSean McCoy's contract. It's a huge contract. And now this is proof that Chip Kelly does not give any bleeps about moving on from somebody. He dumped DeSean Jackson last year in the offseason, and he's dumping LeSean McCoy this year in the offseason. He's ridding himself of Andy Reid's players. Jason also pointed out that McCoy is not going to be a happy camper about this trade. You're going from Philly to Buffalo. He's beloved. People love him in Philly. He's considers it a title contender, I would think, there. Maybe not so much in Buffalo, although he's going to be, in Chip Kelly's scheme, LeSean McCoy is the ideal back, but I think he's going to enjoy getting fed the rock by Rex Ryan, 300 to 400 times a year.
I guess that's a lot of work. You actually asked, I was listening to our podcast with Shady McCoy back in the Super Bowl when he visited the old CBSSports.com desk, the set, if you will, for video purposes, that's all another issue of why do they do that with us, but whatever. Anyway, you asked him specifically, do you think your decline in 2014 had anything to do with the fact that you carried the ball 4 million times? And of course he said no, but it's a fair question. And let's see, 2013, Shady McCoy was the top ranked running back according to Pro Football Focus. Now, in terms of like rankings for individual players, I typically like for skill position players, I like Football Outsiders the best, but I just looked there quickly and he was first. And that's because he had a pretty fantastic year. I think he averaged 5.1 yards per carry. In 2014, that dropped to 4.2 yards per carry. He was 55th in terms of running backs where he ranked. So that's troubling. Some of that was injury, some of that was offense, whatever. I mean, you can make any number of excuses for it. But yeah, he replaces C.J. Spiller. The difference is that Shady McCoy is going to make $10.25 million next year. That's his cap hit. And Kiko Alonso, who is in the third year of his rookie contract, drafted in 2013, will make, I don't even know if he'll make $1 million. He was second round pick.
It's like $730,000. Yeah. I mean, LeSean McCoy's dead money, if the Bills were to cut him right now, is $1 million, and that's still more than Kiko Alonso will make next year. So I think that's really the thing for me that I like that the Eagles did here. I believe Chip Kelly's system can replace. I think LeSean McCoy's perfect for it, but I think they can find somebody maybe in the second round or third round.
Look,
of the
if
draft,
you can plug a quarterback in there and have success in Chip Kelly's system, you can plug anybody.
Exactly. So they can plug a running back in there to replace LeSean McCoy at a much cheaper cost. Ultimately, when you start looking at the cost of running backs, and you see Adrian Peterson probably going to have to take a salary cut this year. LeSean McCoy, one of the higher paid running backs, now he might not have to take a pay cut, but I mean it's pretty clear that Chip Kelly looked at what he was spending on his running back and said, you know what, maybe this is not the amount of cash I would like to spend per year on my running back. You know what I'm saying?
When did he sign that contract? 2 years ago? I think it was 2 years ago, two off seasons ago, maybe something like that. Here's the thing. That's fine. I get it. They had to pay him at the time. He was very good, very young. I get all that. I don't understand. And listen, he does not take a pay cut. He's going to make $10.25 million this year. I think that's probably what's going to happen. Now, listen, the trade can't officially be
consummated.
Even better. I like to think of Roger Goodell consummating deals.
How do you like to think of Rex Ryan and Chip Kelly consummating something?
I think in 1985, health book shorts. Remember those health books?
Oh, yeah. Chip Kelly's the only guy in the country who wears shorter shorts than me and my dad.
Yeah, the bike shorts, not the bike, like the bicycle shorts, the BIKE coaches shorts that coaches used to wear.
Yeah.
Like John Goodman wore in Revenge of the Nerds, those type of shorts.
But soccer dad shorts.
I guess. I'm thinking more of like high school, your dad's the high school football coach and he's a huge hard-on type shorts. Those guys.
Right. Sorry. Okay. I got you. Yeah, that works.
But anyway, so this deal can't happen until Tuesday at 4 p.m., March 10th. That's when free agency officially begins. So he's making $10.25 million. That cap, anyway, the base salary is, 9.75. Doug Whaley is basically Ryan Grigson. He traded up last year for Sammy Watkins. And you know, we've talked about that. Now he's throwing good money after bad. Shady McCoy, listen, if Shady McCoy made what Kiko made, whatever that was, $45 an hour or, you know, $45 million over the 5 years, I think that trade is pretty even trade. I still think I like Kiko a little better, even though he missed last season with a knee injury, I think. But the fact that he's going to get $10 million is insane, given what Doug Whaley's recent track record is. And that includes EJ Manuel, too. But I guess one of the takeaways, if you want to call it that, is that EJ Manuel now has another weapon, assuming maybe this means that they feel sort of comfortable giving EJ. We talked about this last podcast, EJ the nod early on. No?
Well, I would say that I think that what you said to me when you did, I think you said it, unless somebody else said it, you pointed out to me that there's actually a lot of sense to be made here. But the Eagles, look, they've cleared up cap room.
I like it for the Eagles' perspective. I'm talking about Doug Whaley not being very smart with it.
Oh, right. I was thinking Mariota, and then I was like, wait, man. Never mind.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, no, I'm talking about the Bills side of this.
I blacked out and thought that the Bills could go get Mariota for some reason.
I do that all the time.
No, yeah. The Bills are screwed face. I mean, it's EJ Manuel, and as we pointed out in the last podcast, Jake Locker, Mark Sanchez. I was actually trying to look to see if LeSean McCoy had any career passing attempts, because then I was going to say,
oh,
hey.
That's hysterical, yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't, so that's a problem.
Not yet. He will.
That's right. And look, I mean, you're looking at a deal where you're grabbing a guy in the second round like a Brett Hundley, or you're picking up scraps off the... So from that perspective, that's why I don't necessarily mind it for the Bills, because yes, they are putting a ton of money towards the running back position, but I think that's kind of makes sense in Rex Ryan's scheme. And also they know that they're not going to be able to get a competent quarterback, and they told CJ Spiller, tweeted out, I mean, they're not going to get anybody worth worth anything. I mean, it's, you know, EJ Manuel, Jake Locker, Mark Sanchez is the top end of their quarterback. So if you're gonna have to go to war with one of those guys, you need as many weapons around them. And they needed to upgrade the running back position. They weren't going to be able to do it, you know, to the extent that they did via the draft or via free agency. So I kind of like the move to go out and trade for LeSean McCoy.
So much money. I don't mind it on the surface, but it's just so much money when you look into the details. Now, what if EJ Manuel somehow gets this job? And let's say he plays like Teddy Bridgewater did, Bridgewater's best 3 or 4 games. That's how he plays in 2015. You can win with that, right?
Absolutely. And with that defense,
right,
and,
exactly.
and a running game. And CJ, and again, we talked about this too with EJ Manuel. Sammy Watkins is a guy. The reason they drafted Sammy Watkins is because he's not just great down the field. He's great close to the line of scrimmage. So if you have a creative offensive coordinator, and Greg Roman's pretty creative, despite Trent Baalke's daughter's disdain for him on Twitter, you know, you can run bubble screens, run short stuff with Sammy Watkins, get the ball in his hands and let him be a playmaker. Streak Marquise Goodwin down the field and have EJ Manuel bomb it to him. I mean, there's stuff you can do to work around it and be successful, at least in the first year, and hopefully try and improve his game. And then maybe you start, you know, next year you got a first round pick again. Maybe you start looking to the future at that point.
A couple things. I mentioned Teddy Bridgewater, not because he and EJ Manuel are both black, because I'm sure someone will bring that up, but because he was a rookie last year and he had the best rookie season, more so than Bortles and certainly JFF. I was just trying to compare EJ to someone like that. Number two, what was number two? Oh, here's what it was. I haven't seen any Bills fans complaining about losing Kiko Alonso. He was pretty popular his rookie season. He had a great rookie season. He missed last year with a knee injury, as I pointed out.
Yeah.
But Rex Ryan's the type of guy where you can lose a Kiko Alonso and be fine. Rex Ryan's a guy who can find, you know, talking about getting guys off the street to make them fit your scheme. Rex Ryan's perfect at that. And we saw it last year with that Jets defense when he was just picking up guys at the street corner to play cornerback, and some of them actually panned out. What he can't do is find a quarterback, when we've had that conversation. So, yeah, going back to now going to the Eagles, and you sort of were not paying attention, but you were getting to the point that I made to you over text about how I love this for the Eagles, and I think this means right. That now it's go time.
I mean, that's the thing is, if you're the Eagles, now you have a lack of offensive weapons because DeSean Jackson's been gone. LeSean McCoy is gone. Jeremy Maclin is a free agent. You can potentially re-sign him for a lot of money, but you don't have a ton of weapons here, and you have Nick Foles at quarterback. I would be very wary of going into the 2015 season with Nick Foles at quarterback with no Maclin, no McCoy, right? So the play is to make a move up the draft board for Marcus Mariota.
Well, the biggest concern last year was the defense. They were soft. I mean, I think it's fair to call them soft. Thing is, I was checking Football Outsiders, and that defense ranked 10th, and that sounds awfully high. They were 20th against the pass, 6th against the rush. But even though I love Football Outsiders, I'm dubious about the 10th overall. They were a pretty soft bunch. So you go out and get Kiko Alonso. That strengthens the middle of the field. There's conversations that they're going to try to get Byron Maxwell, the Seahawks free agent cornerback, who's very good. You just don't hear about him because it's Richard Sherman and Cam Chancellor and what's his face? And what's the other safety's name?
You were talking at Seattle?
Yeah. What's his name? The other safety.
Oh, Earl Thomas.
Earl Thomas.
Jesus, sorry, I blacked out.
I know you're not paying. I know you're looking at things, not paying attention.
I'm trying to gather information on this
no,
that's trade. Fine.
No, I'm not. Yeah. I'm not begrudging you. I'm just telling people listening why that we never listen to each other and have no idea that's what right. we're talking.
We don't
about.
Talk. We don't talk anymore.
it's that stage in the relationship. But so they're going to try to get Byron Maxwell. That's the word on the street. So that strength that solved a lot of issues with the defense that I said, you know, even last week that's why they should not worry about Mariota and focus on fixing that defense via the draft. Of course, we all forgot about free agency. So it looks like they're addressing the defensive needs in free agency, even though it hasn't officially begun. We have another week for that. And if they do all those things, and Chip Kelly has probably thought about this more than 15 minutes like we have, and if he loves Mariota, I still don't think you should give up a first-round pick to move up to get Marcus Mariota if that's who you really want. But if they can find a way to do it, and if Mariota slips down to 10 or 12 or 13 or whatever,
that's right.
Go for it, brother.
You can't. I know that. I mean, it's been posited that they could go up to 2 or 3, and that just seems too expensive to me. You got to hope that Mariota falls to 10, and that you have to hope that the Jets don't want him at 6, and that the Rams don't want him at 10, and then you can make a play for him. Because at that point, you know, if you've got the ammo to shoot up the board, and you do, and Chip Kelly has final authority on decision making. Remember, these are guys. This is the other thing that's being lost here is that this is another shot across Howie Roseman's bow. I mean, he took all the power from Howie in the offseason. Now he's cutting the guy that
going
Roseman
crazy.
Gave the because I mean Roseman was there when they gave him the extension, right? I mean,
yeah, I think so. Yeah, he must have
exactly,
been.
Yeah.
Been.
So, yeah, I mean, so if you're the Eagles. You're looking at the possibility you trade up. I like the possibility of going after Byron Maxwell. And all of a sudden,
they cut Kerry Williams on Tuesday.
Yeah, Kerry Williams is terrible.
Yeah, no, he was. But they signed him 2 years ago. He played with the Ravens in 2012, got a Super Bowl ring, and then had a decent year in 2013, terrible year last year, and now he's gone.
Yeah, and so you've got to hope that this defense improves with the acquisition of a guy like Alonso. And it could look, Kiko Alonso was fantastic his rookie year.
He was 9th according to Pro Football Focus his rookie season as a inside linebacker.
Yeah, and
just behind the other white dude. Two white dudes, Sean Lee and Luke Kuechly. There you go.
Wow. God, it's a trio. I mean, inside linebacker's got it's the new Wes Welker.
There you go.
But you've got the Bills shifting to that 3-4 defense too. I mean, they'll run hybrid stuff, but you know, Rex Ryan's primarily gonna be 3-4. So you don't have quite as much a need for Kiko Alonso there. You move him, you know, he's in Philly now. He fits the scheme, he fits the system, he knows Chip Kelly well. He's an ex duck. They have 8 of them on the roster, I think. Pete Prisco made a great joke on Twitter. He said Donald is the only duck that Chip Kelly hadn't acquired at this point.
Pretty
clever. It's weird. It's like the opposite of Pete Carroll. Because, you know, Pete Carroll didn't go out and grab all of his USC guys. Chip Kelly is hoarding
Yeah, Lindell White got mad because Pete Carroll was bad-mouthed, and Mark Sanchez got mad because Pete Carroll, this is back when Carroll was still the coach at USC, said that Sanchez didn't leave early.
Well, he was right.
yeah, he was right about that. That sort of isn't, that doesn't even fit the, this. Who else? There have been other guys. I'm trying to think. The cornerbacks. But yeah, no, you're right to not wasting more time.
No, but I mean, yeah, I mean, the larger point is that Chip Kelly's bringing in all these Oregon guys, and he thinks that it's a little risky. I mean, the guys he's getting are pretty good, but I mean, it's risky to hope that you can, your system and your school will transpose directly to the NFL because, you know, I mean, Oregon couldn't even win the national title this year against Ohio State.
Well, to Kiko's credit, he does have a track record of playing well.
No, that's right. No, look, I'm not. Yeah,
Mariota
I'm not saying,
doesn't. If you trade for him, you're really putting all your eggs in the green basket there.
You are hanging your green eggs over the edge and allowing somebody to potentially snip them. These eggs are in a metaphorical.
That's a weird Easter
basket.
Visual.
Yeah, it's a very weird. Your eggs are hanging out of your shorts, and you're putting them on the table.
And the demonic Easter bunny has got the clippers.
it's like what's that movie with the. Donnie Darko. You ever see Donnie Darko?
I thought you were going to say make the Mallrats reference with the Easter Bunny.
Oh, yeah, that's too. That guy, too. But yeah,
that
so.
The kid is back on the escalator.
Get the
again.
Kid off.
What?
Get that kid off the damn escalator. By the way, I'm drinking a Sierra Nevada Hoppy Lager.
You and those hops.
If you have a chance to try this, this is fantastic. It's their 7.0%. It's their beer camp beer. It is delightfully hoppy, but not too IPA-y. So you get that hop flavor.
You sound like my brother-in-law. He loves, like, he's a beer snob too. It's weird because he's an outdoors guy. He's mostly like Grizzly Adams, except when it comes to beer, and he's super snobby about it. But he loves alcohol content that exceeds like 7% for beer. And I'm like, I'm not trying to look, dude, I want to be able to walk tomorrow. I'm not trying to have the worst headache ever. I want to be able to drink 12 of these Bud Light Limes, have a good time, and be able to operate in the morning.
Yeah, well, that's the problem is you drink these heavy beers and you're totally screwed.
I mean, Bud Light Lime is the yellowtail of beer. I love them both.
Yeah, the high grav beers will wreck your face. I'm fully aware of that. And it's like red wine. It just drowns you to the point where it's tough to get going the next day. But back to how would you assign a grade just so we'll wrap this up into a neat tidy bow. Grade this trade from the Eagles' perspective.
I love it. If they get Byron Maxwell and they can shore up.
Just grade that you get in the vacuum because you can't sit. Like, can't,
I
can't
still love it because of the money they make. They shore up the defense. I give him like an A. By the way, quickly, Mike Silver from NFL Network, he says that this trade took all of 20 minutes from start to finish.
Really?
So there you go.
So I guess Chip Kelly called up Rex. Is like, do you want LeSean McCoy? He's like, are you serious? He's like, I want Kiko. So I get the sense that like Chip Kelly is the type of dude like me. Like he's sitting around. I'll sit around during fantasy football season and tinker with every single roster on the opponents because, you know, I can get away with it because it's work, you know? I can sit there.
I'm 100% certain he doesn't do that, but go ahead.
No, but I mean, I'm saying like, I think Chip Kelly, I think a lot of dudes are like this. They're constantly scouring other rosters and thinking, all right, what can I do? And Chip Kelly is thinking, we need to figure out a way to get rid of LeSean McCoy. I don't really want to cut him, even though he didn't have a ton of dead money, because I think we could get some bites on him. You know, who would be interested in him? He's like, Rex Ryan does like running backs. And
you know what's funny about that? That you say, I was thinking about this while we were discussing the trade. Back in whenever it was, 2010, must have been 2009, the Steelers traded Santonio Holmes to the Eagles, to the Jets. Yeah. And Rex Ryan was the coach there. Mike Tannenbaum was the GM at the time. And I remember Rex talking about afterwards when they made the trade, and it was for peanuts, like a fifth round pick or something. But he was so excited. And I think this has to do with the fact that he's a defensive guy. He sees these guys as offensive sort of juggernauts, and Santonio was at the time. He was coming off that Super Bowl catch, the game-winning catch.
The catch, yeah.
And Rex...
one of the catches.
Yeah, it was a catch.
Actually, it should be called the throw. That was a better throw by Roethlisberger than a catch.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm down with that. The catch is Joe Montana and Dwight Clark. And the interception is Malcolm Butler. But Rex was overly excited about the idea of getting Santonio Holmes to upgrade that offense, to go along with the running game, to help Mark Sanchez, to go along with that fantastic defense. And I would imagine he had similar thoughts when Doug Welly busted into his office. I was going to say eating Cheetos, but he's now, he weighs 135 pounds. So he doesn't eat. He was eating kale. And he said, "Hey, do you want LeSean McCoy?" And I'm sure Rex didn't even ask any questions about salary cap implications. He said, "Yeah, sure. What's it going to cost us?" And, you know, Kiko, he can replace because he's a defensive guy, but he can't replace CJ Spiller, and Fred Jackson's getting old and all that. I'd rather have CJ Spiller for a third of the cost, or even Reggie Bush on a 1-year deal for $2 million or $3 million or whatever he was making last year in Detroit, if he would take that. This, I think it's an A for the Eagles, and I give it a D plus, a D plus.
D plus?
Yeah, D as in dummy.
D as in duck. By the way, I'm gonna read Pete Prisco's final pieces of his quick hitter on this trade, because I assume it'll be posted. So who wins this trade? Nobody, unless the Eagles figure out a way to get the right quarterback, Marcus Mariota, and the Bills find somebody who can actually pass the football, helping to ease the 8-man fronts McCoy will face. Blockbuster trades don't happen in the NFL, so when they do, we react with total surprise. Then again, is this really a blockbuster trade or just a sign of two things we already knew to be true? Mama, don't let your sons grow up to be backs, and Chip Kelly doesn't give a damn about loyalty, you, me, or anybody else in his quest to be a champion. It would have been much better if I read it in Prisco's voice and we had the True Detective thing playing.
Here's the thing, though. He's wrong about no one wins. Because if nothing else, if Kiko Alonso shows up in Philadelphia and breaks both his legs falling off a stool at the Philly cheesesteak hut, they still save $10 million in cap space.
That's exactly right. And that ultimately is the thing. All right, so if the cap is $143 million, right?
And it is.
It is. How much is what is it? 10 million is what percentage is 10 million of 143 million?
Oh, it's like, I think 6.5, 7.5, something like that.
Right. Yeah. Right. So you can't spend 7.5 of your cap unless you're the Seahawks on a running back.
That's right. That's right.
Nope. And then what the Eagles just did was they got out from under this contract. And apparently I was reading on NFL.com that LeSean McCoy was on Total Access on Tuesday. Maybe it must have been last Tuesday. Couldn't have been tonight. And he said that his relationship with Chip Kelly is not great right now. I wish I'd known that.
He said that before. I believe they had.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. Patches. He struggled last year. He could be. Look, I would rather, like you said, I would rather take my chances that Kiko Alonso doesn't get healthy and doesn't cost me a whole lot, as opposed to take my chances that LeSean McCoy struggles again. And remember, too, Darren Sproles was a huge factor for the Eagles throughout the season. And Chris Polk was getting short yardage carries for Philly late in the year. I mean, LeSean McCoy ended up with a ton of rushing yards, but wasn't really productive in the red zone. And didn't have the same season that he had in 2013. So I give the Eagles an A-.
Mm-hmm.
For getting McCoy's deal off the books, I'm going to give them a B plus for the trade.
Who?
The Eagles.
Oh, okay.
Overall, I give them an A minus. I don't know why I give them an A minus for first. I give them a B plus. I give them a B plus for the trade because the one thing I'm hesitant about is that their offensive weapons are not stacked on the offense right now, and they don't have Mariota.
Yeah, but maybe Chip Kelly knows something we don't, in that there's a reason Shady slipped last year.
You know, that's true. No, that's true. You know who'd be awesome in Chip Kelly's system?
Ben Roethlisberger.
Randall Cobb. Oh.
I hesitated because, again, I wonder if it's a kind of this plug and play thing where he can just find scrubs and make them. Because, I mean, Riley Cooper's actually a good example of that.
Jordan Matthews is great, too.
Yeah, they have him. And, again, we talk about the deep wide receiver class, so maybe that's also a plan. They had success with Jordan Matthews last year doing that. And maybe they feel more comfortable with guys like Kiko Alonso and perhaps Byron Maxwell, if that works out, and plugging those guys in as opposed to drafting, you know, whoever, Jalen Collins or whoever the cornerback has to be that they like it, who happens to be they like it 20th, I think that's when they pick, and trying to start a rookie cornerback or whatever.
Well, and I mean, the thing is, we talked about this, the economics of it is if you're Chip Kelly and you're saying, all right, I got to figure out a way to build out my offense and build out my defense based on the salary cap, I think you're better off going out and spending on defense and bringing in somebody I'm not saying he can't identify talent on defense. I just think you're better off going out and spending on defense, identifying talent that's already there, paying them to come in and improve your defense, and then using what you know about your system and what you know about the way you like guys and how they operate in the NFL to improve your offense through the draft and through maybe cheaper options, you know, in free agency. So in that sense, I like him unburdening the cost of the running back. I mean, it's a lot of money. You get Kiko back. Bills, I give the Bills a C plus because I think they had to do something to improve the running game.
Now, how did that cost?
But it's not like he's locked up forever. I mean, he's an unrestricted free agent in 2018, and it based on what SpotTrack's got, his base salaries and his cap hits are not crazy after this year. 7.15 and 7.85. That's actually a reasonable contract, and you can cut him and there's no dead money. So
what about this? What if, and this is something to consider, the Eagles got rid of Trent Cole. They're not going to sign Brandon Graham. So they still have plenty of issues on defense.
Yeah.
What if they don't now? And I'm still not convinced.
What if Marcus Mariota plays defensive end?
Exactly. I'm still not convinced they should draft Marcus Mariota. I'm still not on that train yet, but, they could now focus on maybe moving up. What if they moved up and got someone like Dante Fowler or something? How crazy would that be?
That would be amazing. That would be epic because it'd be like, we have a trade on the clock. The Eagles have traded up to three and everybody's like, it's Mariota. And then they draft Dante Fowler. That'd be incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's something to look out for solely because I just made it up and I'm wishing it to happen now.
I will say, everybody, it's been like, the whole economics thing of draft economics of Chip Kelly not giving up extra, giving up picks and all of that, it seems more likely to me now, having seen all of the Oregon guys he's acquired, that he actually will go out and get Marcus Mariota because he knows how he works in his system.
So wait, who are the other, Casey Matthews, but Casey Matthews was there before he was, I believe. Who else is on that team from Oregon?
You have Josh Huff, who he drafted.
Okay.
You have... let's see.
Because it's not like a Steve Spurrier type situation.
No. You have Josh. You have Brandon Blair, defensive end.
Okay.
Kenjon Barner that they picked up from the Panthers.
Oh right, yeah.
Taylor. I mean, he didn't cost anything. Taylor Hart, who was a rookie last year. Josh Huff, Wade Kalippi, Jeff Mile, wide receiver, and then Casey Matthews and Will Murphy. So he's got a ton of ducks, but they're not exactly
like they're like ducks, like in golf. Golf hitting the ball in correctly terms. They're ducks. They're not even like marquee players.
Yeah, and I think that's maybe the difference too when you talk about the Mariota stuff. These are guys that are largely, and Alonzo adding that makes
six or seven.
That's like 10 of them, man. All jeez, right. Louise. But it's like nine. So nine total ducks, but Alonzo is really the only huge name. Matthews is, I guess, or no, Matthews isn't a duck. He's a Vandy guy. Really, you're looking at guys.
No, Casey filling... Matthews. Oh, the other Matthews. Yeah.
Casey Matthews isn't very good. But you're looking at a guy, he's filling out his roster with guys he knows. And that's just a smart way to fill out your roster. And
that's what coaches do that move from one NFL team to another. So it's not unheard of. It's just the fact that he didn't have another NFL team.
That's exactly right. All right, let's talk about the franchise tags too as well while we are here. What was, anything surprise you about franchise tag day?
I guess Steven Gostkowski to a small degree, but the kicker for the Patriots. But Bill Belichick has, in two previous occasions, franchised Adam Vinatieri, so it's not completely unheard of. I think the bigger takeaway is that, are they going to sign Devin McCourty by next Tuesday, or is he going to walk? And if he walks, and he could, because this could be a move for Darrell Revis to stay in New England, where does Devin McCourty end up? Because, as we talked about, he's one of the best safeties in the league.
Yeah, it's interesting that the Patriots did that. I'm not too worried about Revis. I think Revis was never, I think Revis wants, because Revis likes to be the highest paid cornerback. I think Revis would be willing to walk to Buffalo or willing to walk to the Jets. But I think Revis also understands how well things work in New England. There's no drama. He wins. He got himself a Super Bowl and he understands how good that secondary can be. I think he will at least allow free agency to creep up so that way he can get another high-end deal. Maybe they work out something before free agency starts. It wouldn't be surprising. I think they ultimately know they have to keep McCourty. I don't think the franchise tagged the kicker instead of McCourty, because McCourty was only $9 million to tag him if you didn't think you were going to sign him again. So I think they tag Gostkowski and they expect to... I didn't even realize he was an unrestricted free agent, to be perfectly honest. Yeah.
He's been around since 06. I mean, they tagged...
They signed him to a big extension.
Yeah, in 05, they tagged Vinatieri. They let him walk after that tag year. In 06, they drafted Gostkowski. He's been there ever since.
Yeah, and it's possible that they might... It's possible that they tag him and then let him walk after that, but he's still fairly young.
31.
Yeah. Well, 30, it's not really young. They could draft a kicker and bring it back. Gostkowski's been great for them, though. So I think that they will get a deal done with McCourty and with Revis. Bill Belichick understands that the key to last year's Super Bowl victory I mean, it was Tom, you know, it's always Tom Brady, but ultimately the difference in that team was it was the best defense he'd had since the last time he won a Super Bowl. And I think he'd like to keep those guys together. And, you know, you got so much invested in McCourty. You drafted him as a cornerback. You moved him to safety. He's become one of the best safeties in the league. I just have a hard time fathoming them letting him and Revis hit the open market. I just don't think it happens.
Maybe McCourty is in the hometown discount category too. There's rumors that DeMarco Murray's willing to give the discount to the Cowboys, and our buddy Aaron Schatz of Football Outsiders tweeted this the other day when they franchised Gostkowski over McCourty and made this point, which is a pretty good one. McCourty knows what it's like to play for a crappy team. It's called Jason McCourty in Tennessee. So taking more money isn't necessarily
He's like, hey bro, should I go play for a bad team? No,
absolutely not.
Stay where you are.
That's right.
By the way, remember I asked Murray about that at the award show. He's like, come on, man, it's NFL honors.
I don't want to talk about it now. Yeah, I love that. What do you think we're going to talk to you about? Your tuxedo? Like, what are you wearing?
Yeah. I mean, it's like, I'm sorry, man. Nobody's asking you questions. I mean, I can't say every year those people come in there and nobody asks them questions. It's like,
Last year I actually asked John Harbaugh, what he thought about his brother wearing $8 khakis. He looked at me like I had three
heads.
He did not like
that.
I'm crazy about it. I don't blame him.
No. It's better than being like, hey, John, how do you expect your next year full of domestic violence to go?
What do you think is going to happen in 2 weeks in an elevator in a New Jersey hotel casino? Any guesses?
God, was it only 2 weeks away?
And that was like late January when we talked to him, and then it was February when Ray Rice went nuts.
Sorry, it was Valentine's Day weekend. You're right. It was exactly
Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, that's a heck of a way to spend Valentine's Day. All right, so the list of guys who were tagged, we talked about him previewing the tag. Justin Houston with the Chiefs, no real surprise there. Deal or no deal coming for them?
I'm trying to think. I don't know. I'm not sure who the ESPN reporter is for the Chiefs now. Adam Tasher.
Yeah, he used to be the Kansas City Star.
That guy. Yeah, I think he actually wrote about maybe what they're going to do. One theory he had. He didn't talk to anyone, I think. I think it was just a theory he had. They tagged him and then hoped to trade him for picks.
Really?
So, I don't know.
I don't understand. Nobody's giving up two first-round picks for Justin, for anybody.
Well, he threw it out there. Maybe he wanted drum up some traffic.
But Justin Houston's probably one of the five best defensive players in the league. He's probably the second best defensive player in the league last year.
Yeah.
One of the best pass rushers in the league. 22 sacks, 4 sacks against San Diego in that final game. Was a half sack away from breaking Michael Strahan's record. Has averaged 14 sacks in the last 3 years, I believe. But nobody's giving up two first-round picks and a massive contract to him. Andy Reid, get off your crazy pants horse.
Yeah, maybe I was going to say if the Eagles had any, they had DeSean McCoy this DeSean Jackson. Sorry, if they had DeSean Jackson this year, they could trade him maybe for Justin Houston. So the
Chiefs, but you can't once a guy's franchise tagged.
No, my joke is that the Chiefs could finally score a touchdown with a wide receiver. But sorry, yeah, don't worry about the rules.
But I interrupted you.
Yeah, but yeah, I don't care. I just honestly don't care what happens to Justin Houston because he plays for the Chiefs.
Well, all right, that's fine. But I think they work out a deal. I bet they get a deal done.
Yeah, I mean, okay, they still need a quarterback and some other things.
When I say deal done, I mean before June 15th.
I don't know.
Or July 15th. Because July 15th is the deadline to sign franchise tag guys to a long term deal, or else they have to play out the entire season with no deal.
He's making $14 million, I believe is what it is, right?
13.1.
All right. Who else we got?
Dez Bryant, $12.8 million. No surprise that the Cowboys said for 3 weeks that they were going to tag him, and oh my goodness, they actually tagged him.
I think they will work out a deal. I think we talked about this. I don't think this Walmart thing is going to be anything. Even if a video comes out, I don't think it'll be a Ray Rice type video. And I think that the Cowboys probably. I mean, listen, don't forget the Cowboys had Pac-Man Jones. Jerry Jones took a chance on him 5 or 6, 7 years ago. They have all these guys in house at work on watching players who have questionable off-field character concerns. So I'm sure they know everything that's going on. And a lot of these guys actually probably ride the party bus.
That's right.
So they have an idea of what's going on with Dez Bryant. They probably have had for some time, and I don't think they'll be surprised by whatever comes out of this. And here's what I'll say. If they sign him relatively quickly next few months to a long-term deal, we know that this Walmart video is nothing.
My thing is that, as our colleague Jared Dubin pointed out in his tag track, I think it was Jared, his tag tracker, unless it was you or Breach.
Wasn't me.
Okay, I think it was Jared. 56 receiving touchdowns in the first 5 years for Dez Bryant. That is third all time behind only Jerry Rice and Randy Moss.
Yeah, that's a Dubin stat. He's a Cowboys fan. So that's right.
He's a big Cowboys fan. I mean, look, Dez Bryant is a supreme talent and a top five wide receiver.
So why don't you think they'll have a deal done by July 15th?
Because I think the Cowboys want to get him below market value, and I don't think Dez is willing to take a discount. I think Dez is going to say, look, I'm maybe the best wide receiver in the NFL.
The Cowboys don't really have a whole bunch of leverage.
What they do, they can say you're going to play the year under the franchise tag, and we'll tag you again next year. And that's only $15.5 million, I think, or
$30 million for 2 years ain't bad.
Yeah, but that's still, I mean, but you're risking, you know, you go into this year, you're risking that you get hurt this year and that you don't, you know, I mean, even, but see, the thing is even if Dez Bryant tore his ACL in the final game of the year, let's say he's 27 at the final game of the year, he still would make tons of money in free agency, right?
Yeah, no, that's right. You know, he needs to do a little Derek Bell action, Operation Shutdown.
He could do that.
You remember that?
Yeah, for the baseball player, right?
Yeah, the Pirates. I think I lived in Pittsburgh when that happened. That was awesome. He's like, you know what? Shutting it down.
He's like, actually, guys, I think I'm going to wrap this up. I'm a little worried about my contract situation. No, I think that's great. I like the idea. Joel Corey came up with the idea. It was on this podcast, actually, where what Dez should do, his agents should go to them and say, listen, we'll sign this. Two things are going to happen. This can play out one of two ways. We're either going to sign this tender, and you're going to give us a clause that says you won't franchise tag us a second time, and we'll come to camp. We won't make a stink. Or, second option, we're not signing this thing, and we're not coming around, and you're getting Dez's minimal effort. And now, that's, you know, I mean,
Operation Shutdown.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, I don't know if the Cowboys will give it to him, but, you know, but once you do that, if you can pull that off, then all of a sudden there's tons of leverage Dez's way for the Cowboys to get a deal done before July 15th. Because if they don't, he can walk after this year. And even if he doesn't, you know, he could always pull the, you know what, bleep you. I'm playing 2 years on a tag. You can't tag me a third year because it'd be 144% of $15 million. And yeah, I'm going to hit free agency. And this was your shot to pay me and you didn't do it. So you screwed up and let's, you know, we're moving along.
And 2 years from now, they'll be without Dez Bryant potentially, and Tony Romo will be 48 years old. So,
he'll still be playing in a back brace, though.
In a wheelchair, yeah. All right, who else?
Demaryius Thomas got $12.8 million for Demaryius Thomas and Dez Bryant. I think those two sides work out a deal.
Yep.
Right? I mean,
whether Peyton stays or not, you got to have Demaryius Thomas, whoever succeeds Peyton.
Yeah. And if the thing about Demaryius Thomas, too, is like I think he wants to be there. For as long as Peyton's there, because he said before, you know, he's like, look, my game has grown because I played with Peyton Manning. This guy has made me a better wide receiver. He has made me, you know, because I played with Peyton, I've been able to produce better stat lines than I thought I would. And then, you know, plus, look, I mean, he does these bubble screens all the time. So you bring in Brock Osweiler, let him throw it short to Demaryius Thomas. It makes it a lot easier, and the dude will run for 80 yards.
Agreed. What else?
Jason Pierre-Paul.
Yeah, no surprise. Thing is, so he had 12.5 sacks last year. The two previous years, I believe he was hurt a little bit. In the 2011, he had like 16.5 sacks.
That's right.
He's only 26. He'll be 27 before the season starts. He's the best player on that defense, so you have to sort of start there. You need to bring him back. And I would suspect that the Giants will sign him long-term if they feel like he can stay healthy. I think that's a big deal. Otherwise, they won't, but it seems like he's a guy that would be there.
Would you rather pay JPP big money or Greg Hardy big money?
JPP, because he is, you know, he doesn't have any off-field worries. And while Greg,
even with the injuries?
Well, the difference is Greg Hardy can screw up again, and then where are you? With Roger Goodell wielding that hammer that he's going to lay down the law now. So,
yeah. That's true. Way worse than a bad back. Not tagged wide receiver Randall Cobb.
That's not a surprise, right? We talked about that. $9 million.
Yeah, no, I didn't expect
that. No, not $9 million, $12 million, right?
Yeah, no. Yeah, exactly. We thought
he would probably get about $9 million on the open market.
He's gonna get way past. It depends on what happens to, and we'll talk about Brandon Marshall and Andre Johnson and Mike Wallace. Depends on what happens to those guys. But Randall Cobb is going to get paid a ton of money, and it's huge for Randall Cobb that Dez Bryant and Demaryius Thomas got franchised, and he didn't, because now he's hitting the market. He would love for Jeremy Maclin to work on a deal with the Eagles and stick around, and all of a sudden he's the only pretty lady at the dance.
Yeah, I think with Maclin out there, Randall's the clear cut number one.
No, I agree too. But Randall would, you know, there's no, it's no, I'm going to settle for Jeremy Maclin. It's I'm going to settle for Torrey Smith, and that's
yeah. No, that's a good point too. Yeah, the Packers. Oh,
Ndamukong Suh is the other big name not tagged. No, they weren't tagging him. $26.9 million in order to tag him. That wasn't happening. So that leads me to ask you this: where do you think Ndamukong Suh winds up in free agency?
Well, Pete always says Jacksonville or Oakland, and I guess those are the two front runners. I saw a headline where the Lions are interested in working something out, but
that ain't happening.
That ain't happening. The thing is, I don't even care where Ndamukong Suh ends up. Not that I don't like him. I actually do like him. He doesn't bother me, and I think he's a smart guy, and I think he's obviously very good. But I said it with Gerald McCoy and wherever Leonard Williams goes, it's not going to matter. Those guys aren't difference makers in the scheme of things.
But I tend to disagree a little bit in that Jacksonville and Oakland have to spend all this money to get cap compliant in 2 years. They need to spend like $50 to $65 million over the next 2 years in free agency or on their payroll, but, you know, largely through free agency, because they can't even pay guys like Blake Bortles and Derek Carr because they're not allowed to under the CBA. So if you're going to be forced to go out and spend a boatload of money, why not go out and spend it on a guy like Ndamukong Suh, who can change the face of your defense and alter? I mean, just because of the, you know, the way he trickles down in terms of his ability to shore up a defensive line. I mean, he makes your defensive ends better, he makes your linebackers better, and he makes your secondary better because they don't have to cover as long. So if you're Jacksonville or Oakland, go out and make it rain on Suh. Give him $100 million to come. Suh would be awesome as a Raider. I mean, he would be the perfect Raider.
I guess, but I mean, we saw Mark Davis at the Super Bowl. Guy was spilling ketchup all over himself. I mean, that's where you're starting with this conversation.
Yeah, but exactly. You think they can't talk that dude who can't even eat fries right into giving him $100 million? That's easy.
Yeah, but my point is that
That's basic negotiating 101.
That's agent 101. I don't think the defensive lineman is going to fix a franchise. That's my overall point.
No, I don't either. But look, if you're the Raiders and you went out and you spent you get sued for $110 million because you have to pay the $10 million tax to get him to come to Oakland. And, you know, he's going to command $100 million because that's what J.J. Watt got. And then you go out and buy Randall Cobb at $9 million a year for 4 years. All of a sudden, you've got a little something going, right? I mean, you know, you got Khalil Mack and Ndamukong Suh, Derek Carr, Randall Cobb, some linemen. I mean, there's a little mojo going for the Raiders.
Yeah, look, that team went 8-8 with Tom Cable a few years ago and 8-8 with Hugh Jackson a little while after that with Carson Palmer. So, yeah, no, anything's possible. And the thing is that maybe it was the Hugh Jackson team or the Tom Cable team that went undefeated in the conference, in the division, I mean. They went 6-0.
It was Hugh Jackson, right? Because they went 6-0, and then they traded for Carson Palmer.
Right, yeah. So
The 6-0 division team was Tom Cable.
That's right. Was.
And then Al fired him.
He's right,
like,
yeah.
It's like he beat all your rivals, and you fired the guy, Al.
So we talked about $10 million-plus for LeSean McCoy. What about this? There's a report from Jason Cole, a Bleacher Report, that Andre Johnson, who's about to get cut by the Texans, assuming they don't find a trade partner. He's going to make $10 million this year. The Texans don't want to pay that. Whatever, I get it. He's 33 years old. He'll be going into his 13th season. But Jason Cole reported three teams are willing to pay Andre Johnson that $10 million per year next year, maybe more, and one of them could be the Colts.
You love to bag on Ryan Gregson, don't you?
Well, I love Andre Johnson. Look, here's the deal. I think Andre Johnson...
You think this would be a smart move by the Colts?
If you can get over the $10 million for 1 year, and I think I could, sort of, but... Can you? That's part one of the question. Part two is, any chance they can get DeMarco Murray too?
DeMarco Murray as well. I mean, I guess they could. I mean, my concern with the Andre Johnson thing is that he is old.
33, so, you know, but he does say he's amenable to going to Indy for $10 million a year, if you can believe that.
Yeah, he's I'm willing to take $10 million to go to Indianapolis.
And not play with terrible quarterbacks every year.
I'll say this. I mean, all right, so you're going to give him... So it's just a straight up trade. He's not gonna renegotiate a pay cut.
No, he'll get cut and they'll sign him, I think, is what we're talking.
Well, he's gonna make 10.5 base now. Yeah, I almost would rather trade him and I don't want to give up, as long as you're not give up anything of value. You just want to ensure you get. I could see Andre Johnson wanting to go stick it in the Texans'
right.
face.
No, that's a good point too.
And beat him twice a year. Yeah, if I were the Colts, I would sign Andre Johnson because you're going to get this guy for two more years. He's a future Hall of Famer.
He's an upgrade over Reggie Wayne.
He's an upgrade over Reggie Wayne, and he is a big physical wide receiver who would slide T.Y. Hilton into the sort of matchups that you want T.Y. Hilton involved in.
He is what Hakeem Nicks was not last year.
He is what Hakeem Nicks was supposed to become eventually, and Hakeem Nicks never did. I mean, look, Andre Johnson, so he's ninth all-time in receiving yards, I believe. 12th all-time in receptions. This might be flipped. But he's 58th all-time in receiving touchdowns. That's just a byproduct of playing with terrible quarterbacks your entire career. How miserable is that?
Last year, right, no, it is. Last year was his worst year production-wise, one of his worst years ever. But the year before that, 2013, he had a typical Andre Johnson season. And that team had Matt Schaub, Case Keenum, and T.Y. Yates' name?
Oh, T.J. Yates.
T.J. Yates. And they went 2-14.
That's right.
So he can still play.
Yeah. If I'm the Colts, I don't really want to trade because you're looking at a $16 million cap hit in 2015 and a $15 million cap hit in 2016. So you let him get cut. You go out and you get him a deal that has some dummy years in the back end where you can sign him and then you don't have to, you know, you're not taking a massive cut, a massive, you know, cap hit up front. You got cap room for the Colts. It's like you said, it's a clear upgrade. I love the signing for them. I don't want them to pay DeMarco Murray, but they need a running back so badly and they need that offense to be rolling for Andrew Luck that I guess I would be okay with it. I would rather, if I were the Colts, go out and sign Mark Ingram and maybe draft Todd Gurley.
The problem with Mark Ingram is he looks too much like Trent Richardson. That would be my concern. He would turn into Trent Richardson.
But he's actually got productivity. They could draft Mark Ingram and sign Mark Ingram and draft T.J. Yeldon.
Yeah,
Yeldon. And then they would have all the Alabama running backs except Eddie Lacy.
You can get Yeldon third or fourth round too.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's actually not a terrible idea.
What do you think about this? John Gruden, who is perpetually happy and always upbeat, even thinks that the Bears should move on from Jay Cutler.
I mean, what did all those coaches say? They're like all the ex-coaches.
So
right?
10 former coaches who worked under Lovey Smith and Mark Trestman, both fired in Chicago with Jay Cutler, said that the Bears cannot win a championship with Jay Cutler. That's not exactly earth-shattering news. We've been talking about that for months and years. But even I think the bigger story is that John Gruden's like, yeah, this guy, you can't win with him. Paraphrasing, but that's basically what he said. He's like, let's see what else is out there. And I think that's a bigger indictment because John Gruden loves everybody.
That's right. That's when you can tell John Gruden isn't coming back to coach the Bears because
right.
he's ripping the coaches now.
But even Ryan Pace, the new GM, and the new coach, John Fox, have yet to commit to Jay Cutler, the guy who got a seven-year, $126 million contract January 2014.
I feel like they were at best lukewarm. And look, maybe the Bills make this deal. Why not? Go out trade for Jay Cutler.
We've talked about this. Jay Cutler's terrible. He doesn't fix anything. He's worse than Kyle Orton.
Jay Cutler is one of the 25 best quarterbacks in the NFL, right?
So is Josh McCown, who they visited with, and he's burned them for the freaking Browns.
But 25 doesn't add up to 32. So there's still some dudes out there who need a quarterback. I mean, that's just the reality. And Jay Cutler is an enticing option when the best thing you're staring at is Mark Sanchez and EJ Manuel.
Brian Hoyer. I take Brian Hoyer over Jay Cutler any day of the week.
Nah, I'd rather have Cutler. Give me the upside of Cutler. Let somebody try and fix him. He looked good in
Mark Trestman couldn't fix him. How in God's name is Rex
why
Ryan
is
it, fix him?
I like Mark Trestman, but why do we suddenly think he can fix people?
Just wait. Joe Flacco's going to go off, and it's going to make me very angry to have to watch that. And it's going to be because Mark Trestman isn't dealing with a crazy person.
Do you think Joe Flacco is suddenly going to be great because of Mark Trestman? He was great because of Gary Kubiak last year. He had a good year.
Yeah, hopefully. That would be awesome. What if he Jay Cutlerizes Joe Flacco?
What if Mark Trestman is the opposite of a quarterback whisperer?
He does have Jerry Curl and is a white guy.
I will say this. I mean, Mark Trestman made Josh McCown a lot of money.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a good he friend. Sure did. Yeah. What else we got? Anything?
Quickly, Johnny Football, the new offensive coordinator, John DeFilippo, came over from Oakland where he's the quarterback's coach and had success with your boy, Derek Carr. He needs Johnny Football to be quote unquote obsessed with football like Peyton Manning. Is that going to happen?
I mean, everybody says that he's a football savant.
Worth noting, he's still in treatment.
It hasn't even been 30 days, right? Has it been 30? He should be getting out any day now.
Well, Mike Pettine said at the combine that he doesn't know, he doesn't have a timetable, but they will welcome him with open arms whenever he returns.
I mean, if I'm Johnny Football, I am not, so I mean, like, there's nothing he has to do, right? Why not? I mean,
in terms of what? Quit drinking?
No, he doesn't have to be there. He doesn't have to be there for anything.
Oh, right. You can't talk about football this time.
Run this recovery period for 60 days. Be like, you know what? I just took an extended period. I wanted to really find myself. I wanted to learn about what I needed to do. I mean, go train with somebody on the beaches of California or the quiet.
What is he, Rocky? The beaches of California? Run a wind sprint with Apollo Creed?
Yeah. Go train in Russia for a few months or something.
So listen to this. So
in Russia, Bears train you.
Jesus. I wrote this thing about Johnny Manziel, and I wrote this line. It's why the Browns signed 35-year-old journeyman Josh McCown, a move that led to a collective groan from the weary fan base. And I misspelled groan, G-R-O-W-N, instead of G-R-O-A-N. Because we do, you know, I make a lot of mistakes.
Yes.
So anyway, I get this. There's a comment underneath that says collective, quote unquote, groan. Do you mean grown genius? Question mark. And then the guy says, the sloppiness and grammatical errors on this site are absolutely mind-blogging. Which I thoroughly enjoyed. Thank you, sir.
Did you see the guy who commented on my post? I wrote on Jimmy Fallon of the Browns. He's like, this is unbelievable. He's like, all Will Brinson does for his job is watch Jimmy. He's like, step one, watch Jimmy Fallon or David Letterman or The Daily Show or Comedy Central. Step two, find a video of it. Step three, write a quote about it. Step four, submit to CBS. Step five, get paid. And he's like, furious. So I replied, I was like, pretty sweet gig, huh?
I love that you respond to these people.
Yeah, I got in there. I was like, yeah, it's a pretty awesome gig, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Jimmy Fallon. I like Jimmy Fallon.
It was a funny Browns. He made a Browns joke. I mean, like, that's does this guy think it's like easy to watch YouTubes? I mean, come on, man.
That guy bloggles my mind.
He bloggles my mind. He's unblogging believable.
Yep.
This guy. So yeah, that's the news. Shady McCoy to the Bills. I think that's all. There'll be more. This is the magic of the NFL. As I was saying earlier tonight, I mean, it's like, I'll do these weekly radio spots with some of my like local rally guys, and they're like, yeah, you know, season's over, so we're probably good. I'm like, oh, that's fine. Just, you're going to be calling me on Monday and being like, hey, can you talk about all that? Cause I mean, look, for the next two months, every week, there's going to be huge NFL news. I mean, right. Am I wrong?
This is how it happens. Right up until late May when OTAs are over. Cause people want to talk about the first round picks once OTAs start after the draft. So yeah. Like June and July, we'll have a little downtime, and that's about it.
No, that's right. Yeah, well, I mean, what happens is you have, so in for the next 2 weeks, we have free agency, and then there's the owners' meetings where these, you know, the coaches are going to, I mean, there's a week's worth of news cycle coming out of there, and then all of a sudden it's April, and April is all draft talk. I mean, it's because, you know.
Pro days, visits, speculation, lies.
Well, but the thing is, it's in April, people forget, but you have March Madness. And then it's over in like April 6th. And then everybody looks around. It's like, oh crap, all we have is baseball. Let's talk about these draft picks. And so, I mean, that's when the draft heats up. And then, you know,
people start churning out mock drafts. Oh God, I don't even think about it.
I got to do one every week.
You have to, quote unquote, have to do one.
I do have to. They said once you start doing them, you got to do them every week. So
let me ask you this. Who initiated the conversation? Did you go to them and say, I will do a mock draft, or did they come to you?
Of course I went to them.
Yeah, so you don't have to do it.
I mean, it's a pretty sweet gig, huh?
In between watching Jimmy Fallon videos, you have to do mock drafts.
That's right. All right. On that note, we're getting out of here. Remember, subscribe to the podcast via iTunes. Leave a comment. Buy a beer. As always, for Ryan Wilson, I'm Will Brinson. This is the Eye on Football Podcast. Talk to you soon.